Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Josie James, and you're listening to Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio. My apologies, family. I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty. We got it. No need to worry. We got it. We're going to take a little quick two and two, get everything straightened out. And when we return, we'll have Christopher Williams here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio. Last
a taste of you in my life. Just one last look in your eyes, so I can see what we should have been in my mind. One last embrace with your heart. I know I'll miss one last kiss. Seconds are hours and moments are treasures. My love so intense, there's no time that can measure it.
Cause I see Hey, Hey, this is Chris Jasper on LOTL Radio, the rebirth of the Quiet Storm with Reginald Teddy Bear 4, where you can hear my new single, Someone, available on iTunes, CD Baby, and in stores now.
Searching every
7 years, man. It has been an incredible tool to help artists, especially established artists and also independent artists, to get their music out there internationally. How much of a helpful hand has it been for you to get your music out there, to promote your music internationally for you?
I mean, it's prudential. I mean, you know, today with viral and everything, and really, even if you're not an indie artist, you're kind of indie because of the composition of how the labels are structured. There aren't a lot of labels, and we're all going through a major distributor anyway. So,
right,
you know, it just gives you a sort of idea where you're both rolling your sleeves up. Even now, when you sign to a Sony or a Carlton, Capital EMI, or wherever your product is going through, it becomes more of a working together than people working against. And you're trying to go to a common goal, which is success of the music and to get the music and the awareness of the music out there. And, you know, today is different, but it's a great advantage to have viral and, you know, you can pull the world up at your fingertips in seconds. It's not like, you know, when we first started.
It's amazing when you had to go, when you had to travel city to city or state to state to promote your music, to go to venture into different radio stations, and now from the confines of your home or your recording studio, you can conduct interviews and really get your music out there and promote it. You know, in the 80s and 90s, music videos were huge as far as helping to put a face with the music. And now somewhat that's kind of put to the side now. Do you think, as far as not being able to do as far as many music videos as artists usually used to do, do you think it makes it a lot more difficult to have that more personable interaction with the listeners, with the record buyers?
Yeah, I think the money that was spent, the millions and millions of dollars spent on video, was great. And I think now what they've done is they've stripped it down, and you can kind of see the video of their life every day. They kind of want to see, you know, the video of your career, but they want to see the video of your life, too. It has become a little more interactive, and they kind of want to get a piece of who you are going to the grocery store, which is almost as important as, you know, seeing the music video that you create around, you know, the idea of the song that you had. And it is different, but definitely advantageous in this day and time. And like I said, you know, a lot of things have changed. You can just do things in the swap of a hand. It doesn't mean that everyone comes in, but you can begin to, through data and technology, break it down and then chase the cause and effect of your music in that area.
I find it interesting, and my program director brought this to my attention, your Twitter page, Real Men Sing. And I find that rather apropos, because in today's industry, we find so many people that lip sync or singing the tracks and vocally not even on the same level as you. Do you think that's an indictment of the industry looking at the record buying public as, what is the word I'm looking for, just uneducated as far as music, and basically saying they'll buy anything as long as it has a beat to it?
I mean, for me, it was just a thing, I guess, personally, being a singer and being a man, I just felt like real men sing. You know, it's like when you meet somebody like, hey, I'm an Aries, we're the, you know, Aries are the best. I'm a Leo, we're the best. And it's more of that, but, you know, there are some areas of music where that does, you know, let's face it, through all the decades of music, there's been fun music and music that wasn't taken so seriously. I think in this decade that becomes so apparent is that some of the organic music, even as far as how children learn music today, coming up, it's being pulled away. Everything is being replaced by a computer or something regurgitated, a sample.
Right.
And that's the only one real, that right there is enough to hold them in court and contempt of right there. That we got to get the organic things back in schools, and think budgets have been cut. So people who are making music have to kind of, you know, take it upon ourselves to keep influencing the music and putting the seed back into the music. And
absolutely.
If you don't, then you're going to get more of the fun stuff, and it becomes not so fun because you're now looking for something that feeds you instead of entertains you. And now you have a bunch of stuff that entertains you and nothing feeding you.
Right.
And we do have some great young artists. You know, the flip side is they're obviously not getting as much attention as some of the more, you know, popular artists. And it doesn't mean that the popular artist doesn't have content and isn't talented. But I don't know, today we have such an influx of conglomeration. So if you have an artist that is hot, this hot for so much and so much of the market share that you kind of just, more than before, you just get flooded with them and you're like, wow, it's too much. It's almost too much of them. It's overexposure. And you wonder what is real in the artist. So, you know, like today you've got Adele and you've got Ed Sheeran. And the funny thing is you've got a lot of different cultures trying to redefine music that they say is soul music. And you've got
right.
a bunch of people in soul music trying to redefine what popular music is. So they're trying to be popular, and what becomes popular singing soul music is what is popular, if you can understand what I'm saying. So you have to be happy and content to be true to yourself, and that's really the liberation and the liberty in this. I mean, there's only one Sade.
Absolutely.
And
I'm
truthfully, there's only one Maxwell. There's only one Anthony Hamilton. There's only one Kim. They're beautifully and flawlessly, and they're flawed and beautifully made all perfectly at the same time. There's only
right.
one Charlie Wilson.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we all have to be content to accept indifference and love who we are, what we do, and try to exemplify that as organically as possible. And I think that's how we get disco and a lot of these fun musics that get taken too far. And I don't mean that rap is dead at all, but even rap is old enough now where it's having its evolution of being, it's having its disco moment.
Right.
And it's finding its way back and trying to redefine what's real rap. You know, and
right.
of course the youth has to do that now because I can't redefine rap. I don't go in clubs and listen to rap. I mean, I listen to rap, but I listen to it as it's made or as I hear something that strikes my ear, but I'm not in it like when I first heard, you know, Q-Tip or Nas or even some of the more popular raps like Common's first record. I felt like that was a prolific album, but they're not so much into albums anymore, rap or soul. It's about it's a singles-driven market. So there's a lot of yin and yang. You just have to adapt, like water, I guess. Like my man Bruce Lee used to say, you just have to adapt and understand
right.
what you're out here and up against. But I'm seeing guys before me come back. Charlie Wilson, Elder Barge had an amazing comeback. Not that he ever went anywhere, but the resurgence of his music. And obviously his fell short for whatever reasons, that we hope he can overcome and things like that, because the talent just goes to show that when something's real and organic and they love it, the talent doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with that. I think for me, the level of frustration for me is that where I've seen great singers, I mean great artists put out fantastic products, and they're not getting the airplay. I look at someone like Tyrese Gibson, who had the number one album, and he was not necessarily getting the airplay that he richly deserves. And I think that's very frustrating for an artist like him and also for you, because when you put out something and you give all of yourself to your product, it's your baby, and you feel like you're not being respected in a certain level, it has to be frustrating. At some point we say, hey, look, I know I'm putting out a fantastic product. Why isn't it getting the necessary airplay that it deserves? But on the other hand, if Sam Smith comes and if he sings too late, he's being played everywhere in each market, whether it's urban, contemporary, or pop. He's getting, I mean, national airplay. How do you kind of go about your business without feeding into that kind of level of frustration? Just, I guess, what, just accept how the game is being played as far as from a political standpoint?
I mean, everybody has politics and business in every company, and that's something that you definitely have to pay attention to. But again, I mean, I think sometimes it becomes so much of who has, you know, is Cheerios mad at Frosted Flakes? Frosted Flakes mad at Apple Jacks? I mean, I just feel like some people have to take the journey and learn the journey, business, creative. But if you're in a place where you're in the game, there's also a level of, you know, I noticed from being what they call in and out of the game, that you got to appreciate all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you got to learn how to keep going. You know, we this industry, whatever it is, imagine what Ella Fitzgerald or Sam Cooke or Marian Anderson went through so that we might have an opportunity to do it to this level today. So this second chapter, I've learned that, yeah, all that stuff does, you know, you have to get in. You got to make sure, quite frankly, you got to make sure you got enough money for radio. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, we're going to get real on the interview. You got to have a good record. There's a combination of a good record, some really great relationships with people who want to support. Without the support, it doesn't matter how much you have. You could promote with $1 million, and if the record's garbage and the energy and the project is not good, and it's not going to take form. But, you know, when you got support from people and you got enough formula, enough autonomy with economics to stimulate people, because we're all professionals.
Right.
You know what I mean? And once you can do that and you start to get a groundswell, then you got to go out and really, really go after it and really support other people. Just like one of the things we don't do is we don't support people like Tyrese, who come out. And not only that, I applaud him for having the courage. Like, he's a guy who's in big pop films, major star. And he wasn't afraid to say, hey, I don't have a record deal. There's no shame in that. Prince taught us there's shame. And Prince taught us there's no shame in emancipating yourself.
Absolutely.
In freeing your music, your mind, your name and likeness, if that's who you are. And, I mean, again, we're always going to have – I mean, there's people today who I think are great. I'll be like, why doesn't NDIRE sing it more stuff? Why don't they cover her more? Why is Layla Hathaway been an indie artist for 16 years when she's one of the baddest girls on earth?
Right.
But Absolutely. Thank God these people love music and they continue to flourish. Thank God a young Caucasian girl named Adele, in the middle of weaves and six packs and big butts and injections and Molly, in the middle of all of that, she had the courage to just say, I heard that you settled down, that you found a girl, that you... She just had the courage to evoke emotion from a song.
Right.
Like the great Barry Manilow, this guy probably, you know, he might have wrote a few songs, but he wrote one song that made the whole world sing, just as he penned it. I write the song that made the whole world sing. I write the song of love and special things. So when you could touch that love string in people, even when it's about breakup, they'll follow you and they hear a real voice, a real heart, real expression. You can music can take you on a journey and they'll follow you. And then you still come back to the business as you ask the question, because here we are again, Adele, big star. Why isn't she clamoring to run out and put out more music? Because she has to make sure at this level, now that I'm famous and I no longer am in the position where I want the attention. Now I'm in the position where I want the music attention, but how do I get rid of the other attention?
Right.
The business attention. You know, because in anything where a lot of money or influx of money comes through, you're going to have to really be on solid ground and understand your business. I mean, we look at another artist like Taylor Swift. She's an indie artist. Her family just took stock in the Taylor Swift business, and now they're laughing all the way to the bank. So we as soul artists, as black people, if we're going to start breaking it down, brown people, Latino people, there's no shame in being indie. You know, if the South hasn't taught us anything, you saw the people of the South, they owned all the little huts and little houses. They owned their little property. They worked their land until one day they wanted to build malls on their property, and they all cashed in, all through the South. They taught people in the North to rent for more than what they could afford, to fake it till you make it. There's no security in never owning anything, because at some point you're a leaser and they can throw you out. They can change the rules on you. And on the flip side of that is you got to be a thinker. So you can even go deeper and say, okay, I own this house, but if I don't pay the taxes, do I really own it? So I could have $20 million. I got an $8 million house. And if I stop for some reason paying the taxes, who actually owns the house?
The bank owns the house. The bank
and
owns
who owns
the
bank? And who owns the bank? So it's a mindset is what I'm saying, not to go
absolutely
in a whole around the park way, but it's really a liberation of the mind and the
right
spirit, and to be
absolutely
able to flow like water within that, to enjoy your craft. I think that's the balance for anybody, whether you write, whether you're in communications and you do what you do, whether you're a baseball player. When you let more of it become more of who you are, it'll take over the balance of your life, and you become shackled instead of liberated.
Right.
And
absolutely
that's why you get consumed with thoughts of who's better, why are they playing this person? And it's always evident, because there's got to be a healthy competition first with yourself and then with the data and analysis of the business, because you're going to watch someone else in your craft who's really doing great, because you're like, okay, I'm not stupid. How is he getting so much electricity flowing through his thing? So, you know, everything doesn't have to be an innovation. You kind of take some things that work for you and leave the things that don't. But this business is a many splendid things and a many crazy things. So you have to first love it. And that's
right
what we do. We love it, man. That's why we're still doing it. God's blessed us all these years. I'm 25 years in now. And I just feel like this is chapter two and starting over. Like the fact that we spoke 2 years ago, and you think enough to remember me to say, hey, man, I remember he wanted to come then, but he's coming. I'm still supporting. That's humbling. You didn't have
to. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you
something. That's exciting.
Hey, man, I have, like I told you before, I have nothing but the utmost respect for you, because and I've told a colleague of mine, I said, you know what, Christopher is a very private dude, very private. But if you want to find out what's going on with him, just listen to his music, because he gives you introspective as far as what he's going through at that particular moment in time. Is that something that we can expect or are expecting to take it to another level on the new album coming out in 2016, Simply Christopher?
I really I feel like I have, and I'm hoping again, and finally we've kind of carve the niche that says Christopher Williams. Like I said, I tell people to be encouraged, because there are many splendid artists out, some that, of course, as we know, are not getting the recognition. I mean, there's a girl in Europe named Leanne LaHavis. I'm confused as to how no one in America basically knows who this girl is.
She is
but,
incredible.
You know, these things,
she's incredible.
Yeah, these things happen. You know, there's many artists here, right here in America, where you go, again, I would never want to take away from what someone else deems is art, because, as we know, music and art is abstract. But, I mean, sometimes you just got to go, well, damn, that's just bad. Like, that's just bad, man. That ain't good. And then you see people who are trying to, you know, it's apparent, the gifting on their life, and you're like, you know, you almost, and then there's the thing that says, I want to help, and you can to a certain degree, but I would tell you another thing about this business, the game of it. You have to be like a horse and put blinders on and reach your finish line first before you can reach back and start pulling weight that you can't carry. And that sounds selfish to a lot of people, but trust me, when I first got music, I was trying to help everybody. I was trying to get everybody a record deal. I want your dream to come true too, but you lose your own, because I was too young and I had not finished maturing. I had not reached even half of my apex. And this time, in this chapter, that's really what it's all about, so that when I am done this time, I can first give God the glory and then be a blessing to people for real, where it's not like I tell you, it's puppet blessings. It's not puppet string blessings. It's really blessings that God has blessed me with, and it's just overflowing. Every time I show up and when people speak to me, I pray. My job is to let them experience that or witness that, because my life has really been like an amazing journey. This music
right
thing has been an amazing journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
all rolled into one. You know, the funny thing is, after New Jack City, I thought for sure, I said, you know what, he's leaving the music industry. I said, he is, I mean, strictly big screen, the silver screen, and also television. And I know you've done quite a bit as far as stage plays. Do you still have an affinity to possibly one day do some more as far as doing some big screen, doing something on the silver screen? Because, I mean, you're a hell of an actor.
Definitely. Definitely. I have a script, My Brother's Keeper, right now. I got options, which is the second coming of New Jack City. It's the new generation of marijuana prohibition meeting the old generation trying to get out of the streets, the family trying to redefine who they are in this day and time with Kareem coming out of jail, and they have a generation of kids that are involved in the family business, and people discover Nino Brown didn't die. So this script is really, it's really a great adventurous ride from the 90s that, you know, it's almost like weird because I didn't even know as much about N.W.A. and that movie, and then seeing that 90s piece come out and it being such a baby boomer piece to see, you know, like see white dads and their 18-year-old son go see N.W.A. together.
Oh, yeah.
because the Caucasian dad grew up listening to Ice Cube and Eazy-E, and they remember that K-Day movement from California.
Absolutely.
And to see how much that period, the 90s, meant to people, it was encouraging. So that's the second equally as important thing that I'm focused on every day in my career and in my life is my film project. And hopefully from there we can spawn other intellectual properties because, you know, film, TV, they all involve music. It all, you know, there's music can tell a story. You can shoot one scene and I can make three different musical scores to it and it'll feel three different things to you. That's why when we ever see, they don't reinvent horror music. They play the same music in every horror joint. It may pitch up, pitch down, but it's all din, 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 din.
Yeah, the same.
They're like, music is just like when you go to church and you're feeling down. You ever been to church? They don't play, not in black church anyway. They play on the black keys. They don't get you in there. They start going, oh, you're going to feel good. Oh, it's going to be better. Oh, they getting in there. It's like, jin, jin, jin. Like, they get right in there. They go right in.
You're
don't
right.
It make it feel good. Don't it feel better. It's going to be all right. So by the 16th measure, you're like, I didn't even come here to cry. Because they realize music can change or make an atmosphere. It can do it to anything, a picture, a scene. It'll change or make an atmosphere. You know, you could be in the backyard of a bunch of people, and if you hear, hey, little mom, I said the way you move's going to make you sweat, going to make you groove. You'd be like, damn, that's disturbing. And that's an amazing record by Led Zeppelin.
Absolutely.
But if they put family reunions, got to have the family. They put family reunion on, everybody back there is going to feel good. I don't care if you're Chinese, white, poor, you could be any color you want to be. And if they hear family reunion, they're going to be like, this is a nice time back here. I'm going to eat me some ribs. I want some potato salad. I'm going to try some of this good food. Because music changes the atmosphere. It's a language. There's three languages spoken all over the world: music, money, and sex.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't even have to be introduced to one another. If you got enough money in your pocket, you can go to Russia. Never spoke to somebody. Pull that money out and see how many friends you make.
Oh, yeah.
You'll start talking like you start making all kinds of conversation. Am I lying? You go over there with a banjo and play like Muddy Waters. Take a banjo to Europe in a country you've never been to and start playing like Muddy Waters and see how many friends you make. You break the barrier.
No, they'll flock to you. That's exactly what they did with Muddy Waters. They flew him over to Europe.
Yeah, that's why Stevie Wonder tells people, you know, love's the only thing that'll conquer indifference. That's it. You know, in 50 years, we're going to be one generation because love conquers. Black against Chinese. Soon it's going to be black and Chinese babies, Spanish, Belize, and Puerto Rican. And in a minute, we're going to be one family as God intended, and love will be the only language that conquers all this craziness. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
There you go. But no, I mean, I'm in total agreement, man. I mean, music does conquer all. It really does. It really does, man. It definitely erases color barriers because at the end of the day, man, we're all the same people. It's all about love. It's all about positive. And your music has always been predicated on that. And speaking of music, we're going to do this. Let's get into it. The new hit single from Christopher Williams, Too Late, here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
It could be so simple, yet complicated. Just 1 minute we're in love.
Christopher Williams, official. Brother, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. You know this is your home. Whatever you need, please, United States, to let us know. Oh, man, it's all love, and man, I must ask, because I know the listeners are going to get on me if I don't. When can we expect the second single to be released from the upcoming album?
We are not exactly sure. We're hoping this one will definitely ride us into the new year. I would say probably around Valentine's, March, along with the release of the album, the full CD.
Okay. Okay. Well, man,
but we will definitely keep you and your people posted. And, okay, and Teddy Bear, you know we're going to be right back at you, man.
Oh, we have to, man. When you get it, man, and you send it to us, we will debut it here first, and we will play the album in its entirety. That's what we do. That's what we do. Man, much love to you. Much continued success to you, okay?
Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless. The very talented, my man, Christopher Williams, here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio. And for those who are tuning in late, shame on you. You missed the interview, but it's okay. We're going to rebroadcast the interview in its entirety on Live 365. Yeah, that's our app. I said Live 365. Just let your fingers do the walking on your iPhone, or if you have a Galaxy, whatever you have, just go to the Google Play Store. You're going to download Live 365, and once you do that, you're going to type in these delicate words, LOTL, the comfort zone, and we will replay the interview in its entirety. But for those hardcore Christopher Williams fans, it's okay if we kind of drop back. You say drop back, well, rewind, step back in time. I'm dreaming here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio.
Don't wake me, I'm dreaming. Thank you.
away. I know my heart can stay with my love. It's understood. It's in the hands of my love. And my love, he does it good. Whoa, 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 whoa. My love, he does it good. And when the cover's bare, I still find something there. When my love, it's understood.
Every girl's tears. alright. You know, we can unite. I mean, no, really. Because we all looking for the same thing. Love. In fact, I think I want my assistant to help me out a little bit. We can unite. Explain your situation, God.
Get it, oh girl.
a double dose of Bernadette Cooper from her new album, Last Diva on Earth, Episode 1, Planet Sexy. My name is Gigi, here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. I want to send out a very special thank you to my man, Mr. Christopher Williams, Lord Emerson. And be sure to purchase, or actually you can pre-order, the new hit single, Too Late. All you have to do is let your fingers do the walking, stop by iTunes and make that pre-order for quality music. And his new album, titled simply Christopher, will be available around Valentine's Day of 2016. But, you know, when it's ready, like grandma's cookies, even if they're a little bit soft, it's still warm and delicious. We will definitely debut it here. And a lot of other people I'd like to thank. I want to send out a very special thank you to TQ. TQ, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to purchase his new hit single, Coming Home. Also, Trustin Irby from High Five, their new hit single, Sunshine. Man, so many people to get into. But my girl, Miss Kirby Marae, be sure to purchase her fantastic new album, Doing the Most. And last but certainly not least, Marie Antoinette with her new hit album, Straight from the Harp. Very soothing, very sensuous. You know, that's what the teddy bear loves. Shaken but never stirred. Lord have mercy. To get all the latest updates, be sure to stop by the official website at www.lotlthecomfortzone.com. And if that's not enough pertinent information for years, you can always catch up with us on Instagram. That's at instagram.com/LOTL The Comfort Zone. And also on Twitter. Yeah, you can also follow us on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/LOTL Radio. And for 24 hours, nonstop, non-streaming, all streaming music, you can always listening to us 24/7 with our app. That's at Live 365. Be sure to let your fingers do the walking on your telephone. Yeah, on your cell phone. Go to the Google Play Store. Download Live 365 and type in those tender, loving words, L-O-T-L, the comfort zone. And we gotcha. I've seen the need. Here to fulfill that need. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Yeah, I know it's that time, but we'll be back real soon. That's why it's imperative that you let your fingers do the walking. Stop by the official website. Get all the latest updates. Find out what's going on. Send us an email. Let us know what you would like to hear. Because at the end of the day, there's no me without you. Oh, Lord have mercy. We're going to close it with a triple dose or a triple dip of Bernadette Cooper. Again, from her new album, Last Diva on Earth, Episode 1, Planet Sexy with... I am your diva savior. Live from Planet Sexy in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
A big hand.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. How's everyone doing this evening? Hopefully you're still expecting yourself in. Hey, before we get started, let me introduce my band. On bass, we got the very funky Cornelius Mims. On organ, baby, Sweet Pauline from Alabama. Keep it right there, Pauline. So funky. On guitar, I got sexy ass Rob Bacon from Detroit, Michigan. And from London, my DJ, Diva in a Box. And I am your diva savior. And I'm blowing the spot up. Ladies, get up. Where's your man right now? Let me say it one more sexy time. Ow. Diva, get up. It's time to tell the truth, girl. But before I do, from Ohio, the fabulous Penny Moore. Can I get my nails done and take my time? Well, all right then, Penny. them away. Remember to love yourself.
Protect